The Vegan Vegetarian Solutions for a Sustainable Environment project is working to create a series of podcasts that will consider many aspects of how a shift to vegetarianism can reduce global threats. To discuss this now, our guest is Richard Schwartz, PhD. Thanks, Richard, for being willing to talk to us today about these critically important issues.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be on with you.
Richard, please share with us your background and interests as related to the environment and vegetarianism.
Okay, I'm president of the Jewish Vegetarians of North America, and I'm also president of a group called the Society of Ethical and Religious Vegetarians. That's like an interreligious vegetarian group. I've also written a number of books, Judaism and Vegetarianism, Judaism and Global Survival, and Mathematics and Global Survival. I also have over 130 articles, many environmentally related and vegetarian related, at this website, jewishveg.com, with a backward slash, and then my last name, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. You know, I try to get as much information on the internet as possible. And I'm also a counselor for a group called Vegetarian Union of North America, and I'm patron of the International Jewish Vegetarian Society. I'm also editor of the Jewish Vegetarians of North America newsletter. You know, I try to keep people informed through that. So all in all, I'm retired now, so I'm professor emeritus at the College of Staten Island, and I'm spending good deal of my time because of the nature of these threats and the importance of making people as aware as possible of these issues.
Great. Sounds like you're well qualified to speak on these issues. So tell us, how serious a threat is global warming?
Well, I think it's the most serious threat to humanity today. Unfortunately, we seem to be heading toward an unprecedented catastrophe. Every day in the news, there seem to be additional indications. You know, we had recently those wildfires out in California, and we've had that tremendous flooding in the Midwest, in Iowa, the Mississippi River recently. And, of course, as we record this, recently we had Hurricane Ike and more severe storms. There's droughts in so many parts of the country, and we know the polar ice caps are melting. We know the glaciers are melting. Polar bears are threatened. So we have these indications almost all the time. And what makes this very serious is that these are all things that have occurred because of an increase in temperature of a little more, well, somewhere around 1.5 degrees Fahrenheit in the last century or so. And according to leading climate scientists in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, they are projecting a 3 to 11 degree Fahrenheit increase in the next century. So that we've seen a lot of indicators so far, but it could be far, far worse. That's why it's so essential that we make changes. And another very ominous thing is that there are some climate scientists, including James Hansen of NASA, for example, who are stating that we could reach a tipping point. Things could spiral out of control within just a few short years unless major changes occur. So that, as I say, this is extremely serious, and that's why it's urgent to get the message out and why I'm trying to spend so much time on doing that.
I understand your points, but some will say global warming is exaggerated. Others will say human activity didn't cause it. And while still others will say this is a problem for future consideration, what would you say to these objections?
Well, as far as future generations, well, it is something that we have to work on for our children and grandchildren, but it seems to be happening right now. All the things I mentioned, again, the floods and all the melting of the glaciers, the polar ice caps, far faster than even the experts were projecting. And again, somebody has called this a century of drought. There's drought in so many areas now. Australia's had a drought for like the last 7 years or so. Israel now has the worst drought in its entire history. Many areas of the U.S., especially in the south, have severe droughts. California's drought is so severe that the governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, has stated that where the wildfire season used to be a few months, late summer, part of the fall, it's now all year round. So we have all those indicators. And again, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, these are the top scientists from all of the world, consensus statements, and they come out with this policy and statements every 5-6 years, and each time they state with more and more certainty that it is human activities that are involved and that the situation is very serious. One more very important point is that if we assume that global warming is a threat and we take actions, all the things we'd be doing are very positive things, you know, getting more efficient cars, you know, using more efficient light bulbs, things that would cause less pollution, so that there are these very positive side effects. But if we assume that maybe it isn't such a threat and we don't take action, then it could be too late before we finally start to address the problem.
Are there other environmental threats that we should be concerned about?
Yeah, unfortunately, there are many, many environmental threats. For example, the tropical rainforests are being destroyed at a very alarming rate, and that is so important for our climate. And it's also more than half of the species of plants and animals reside in these tropical rainforests, and they are disappearing at a very alarming rate. Some experts have pointed out that species are now disappearing at a rate perhaps the fastest in history, and certainly since the time of the dinosaurs. And we mentioned before polar bears, for example, just one example of many species in danger or becoming extinct. And many other problems, the coral reefs are being threatened, and more soil erosion, more areas becoming deserts. One very, very important issue is that of increasing water shortages. Could be that within 30, 40 years, half the world's people live in areas chronically short of water. We're really, you know, with more people, more industrialization, more production, we're overusing that water, and that could affect agriculture. As a matter of fact, the combined effects of global climate change and water shortages could lead to severe famines, food shortages in the future with very negative effects. And related to all that, the global warming and all the other environmental problems, there was a panel of 11 retired U.S. admirals and generals, and they pointed out that global warming could be like a multiplier effect for terrorism, for violence, because when you have more and more refugees, hungry, thirsty, fleeing from droughts and storms and floods and wildfires, disease, hunger, lack of water, that creates a situation where there could easily be more instability, more violence, more terrorism, more war. And an example of that is Darfur, and many factors involved in that. But one of them is that there was tremendous drought, the environmental effects, bringing people closer together and making the violence more likely. Now, actually, there's also a Talmudic teaching that indicates that the Hebrew words for bread, which is lechem, and war, milchama, come from the same root. And the Jewish sages deduce from that that when there is a shortage of grain, other resources, people are more likely to go to war. So, unfortunately, we're seeing that in the present day.
So tell us, how would a shift to vegetarianism make a difference in responding to global warming? And the same question related to the other environmental threats you've mentioned.
Right. Well, of course, many, many things should be done. We have to affect public policy. We have to get more efficient automobiles, lights, everything we do. But one thing that's overlooked is the tremendous effect of animal-based diets, animal-based agriculture on the environment, on global warming. And in 2006, the UN, the Food and Agricultural Organization report called Livestock's Long Shadow, pointed out, and this is really incredible when you think of all the cars and all the planes and means of transportation in the world, but this report pointed out that animal-based agriculture actually emits more greenhouse gases and carbon dioxide equivalents than all these means of transportation worldwide combined. That's 18% for animal agriculture, 13.5% for the means of transportation. So what we eat can be more important than what we drive. And, of course, that doesn't mean we shouldn't try to get more fuel-efficient cars, but the effects of animal agriculture are very great. And just to give a few examples of why that is, there is projected to be 7 billion people on this planet by the year 2012, but there are now about 56 billion farmed animals. So in order to provide grains for these animals, we're destroying the tropical rainforest, and we burn those forests that gives off carbon dioxide, and also destroying trees, we're eliminating a sink for the carbon dioxide. And also all the irrigation, all the mechanization, all the things involved in raising 56 billion farmed animals, slaughtering them, transporting them, processing, all of that is contributing to global warming. So that that is a major effect. That's an inconvenient truth that even Al Gore has not sufficiently addressed. And well, even though he's done wonderful things with his movie and adding to the people's understanding of that. And all the other problems as well. For example, you need a lot more resources on an animal-based diet. Instead of just eating the fruits of the trees, the grains directly, we're feeding so much to animals. Turns out that 70% of the grain produced in the United States is fed to animals destined for slaughter, and worldwide it's roughly 40%. So at a time when it's widening hunger, when an estimated 20 million people in this world are dying annually from hunger and its effects, again, we're feeding so much grain to the animals. And it also requires far, far more water. It takes up to 14 times as much water on an animal-based diet than on a vegan or completely plant-based diet. And again, at a time when there are water shortages in so many areas, running out of water, and of course, you need pesticides, fertilizer. Tropical rainforests are being destroyed, as some put it, to save a nickel in a fast food hamburger. It turns out to be cheaper to destroy it, but we're destroying the tropical rainforest in Brazil, Costa Rica, other areas like that. So we have all these effects. It also takes far more energy. You know, that's such a big issue today. But all the mechanizations, again, instead of directly feeding the almost 7 billion people we have in the world today, trying to feed the 56 billion farmed animals and feeding them so much grain requires a lot more energy, and that is a factor. So it could make such a difference. In a way, it's like madness and sheer insanity. In a time when global warming is such a threat, hunger is spreading, water shortages and all that, and all the many problems, species disappearing, that so much of the world's energy, water, land, other resources going toward animal-based agriculture. So I think that's an essential part. Again, it's like in mathematical terms, it's not the whole answer. It's necessary but not sufficient. Many other things have to be done. But it's hard to see how we're going to solve the world's problems if there isn't a major shift toward vegetarianism. And reinforcing that point is another very important thing that that UN Food and Agriculture Organization report mentioned before stated, that animal-based agriculture is having such an effect today, but the number of farmed animals is projected to double in the next 50 years or so. And, of course, that would mean more greenhouse gas emissions, more waste from the animals, more water required to raising the animals. And at a time when we're trying so many things and so much in the news, and thank God there's more awareness and all, and talk of more efficient light bulbs, trying to get more miles per gallon, but all of that could be negated by the doubling of farmed animals and the increased greenhouse gas emissions from these animals.
Sometimes when I see what we've done to the environment and continue to do to the environment, my only choice feels like I just need to sit and weep. Richard, you're a man of faith, a faith I hope you'll share with us in a future podcast. But for now, how do you see the cup? Is it half full or half empty? Tell me, are you optimistic or pessimistic about our ability to properly respond to global warming and other environmental threats?
Well, I'm optimistic in the sense that there is increased awareness, and I'm sure your podcasts are going to be helpful in that, and that's just one of many examples. You know, people are becoming more aware, and the message is getting out there, but unfortunately, I'm pessimistic in the sense that so much has to be done, and we're just not addressing it that quickly enough. The very fact that we can't seem to shift people. And the one thing that people can do starting today, starting tomorrow, that is a shift in our diets, makes it hard to see how we're going to do some of the other things that require legislation from congressional bodies and things of that sort. So, you know, I still see in my own community barbecues and meat production and consumption seems to be growing, if anything, and where vegetarianism, at least, has been given a lot more respect in recent years. You know, that people are more willing to accept it, you know, as a possible diet. But still, it requires really far, far more, like governments getting together and making people aware of really how serious the threats are and the need for urgent action. It seems to me that trying to save the global environment has to become like a central organizing principle for civilization today. And you mentioned religious aspect. I think that tikkun olam, that's a Hebrew phrase for the healing and repair of the world, has to become a focus in our churches, synagogues, or religious institutions, and every aspect of society. So overall, I'm hoping your podcast and others can start making a difference because, as I said before, we seem to be approaching very rapidly toward an unprecedented catastrophe. So much has to be done, and yet it's like business as usual out there. There is more awareness, more knowledge, so things are changing a little bit, but much more has to be done.
Can you summarize your overall message on these issues, and please tell us how can we get your essential message out to more people?
Okay, the essential message is that the threats are very great, as I keep repeating, because I think everybody should get that into their consciousness. The world is heading toward an unprecedented catastrophe today, and we see it by, as I said, the daily reports of floods and wildfires and droughts and severe storms and melting of ice caps and glaciers, etc. And it has to become a central issue. We've got to do everything we can to avert that. And it's essential to recognize that animal-based diets and agriculture are a major, major factor. It has to be a real great shift on that so that people have to become aware of how important their diet is when you add up the many billions of people and, as I said, about 56 billion farmed animals today. So that has to occur, and we have to get that message out. And in terms of doing that, as I say, I'm glad you're taking an important role with these very important podcasts. I put out this Jewish Vegetarians of North America newsletter, and by the way, if anybody wants to contact me to get the newsletter or for other information, they can email me at president@jewishveg, one word, Jewish followed by VEG, of course the first three letters in vegetarianism. So it's Jewish, president@jewishveg.com. I'll be happy to put them on a newsletter list to get that. And again, I have these articles, and there's a lot of literature out there, many books, and all. So we've got to get the message out, again, through our churches, synagogues. The media should be covering this more. It should become a very important part of the educational system. A lot is being done and all that, but it should be part of every school. And saving the planet should be an essential part of education today, and is about all aspects of our life.
One more time, can you repeat the website so we can find out where people can learn more
sure.
about these issues?
Yeah. Okay, so my website, where I have over 130 articles, is jewishveg.com. And actually, if you stop there, that would get to the Jewish Vegetarians in North America website, with a lot of articles and old newsletters and recipes and things like that. But if you add a slash in my last name, Schwartz, so putting that all together, that's jewishveg.com with a slash and then S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. I have like 130 articles there. And, for example, I have articles relating every single Jewish holiday to vegetarianism, and there's articles about health and environment, you know, separate sections on these issues, book reviews, quite a number of things like that.
I understand that you've made a movie related to these issues. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Actually, we've made a movie. It's called A Sacred Duty, Applying Jewish Values to Help Heal the World. It's a one-hour documentary, and it addresses the global warming issue, and it does point out that inconvenient truth that even Al Gore does not sufficiently address, that it's animal-based diets that are a major factor behind global warming. And even though it's made from a Jewish perspective, it really has a universal message, and it's really been highly acclaimed and by Jews, non-Jews as well. And if anybody's interested, they can go to this website. It's all one word, A Sacred Duty, name of the movie, .com. So A Sacred Duty, one word, .com. They can see the entire movie there. Matter of fact, it's also viewable there with subtitles in many languages, including Hebrew. And they can also order a complimentary copy, the DVD there, because the issue is so important that we are giving the movie out, complimentary copies, and getting it to as many people as possible, because that's part of a way of increasing awareness and getting people to understand the problem and hopefully take action on it. And at that same website, asacredduty.com, they can see blurbs about the movie, and there's also some reviews of the movie and questions and answers. The movie previewed November 12th, 2007. And again, it's something that we want to really get out. It also can be seen on YouTube, where we've had over 12,000 hits. But if people go to that sacredduty.com site, that will transfer it over so that people can see it at YouTube. And I hope that people will order complimentary copies, the DVD, share it with others, perhaps arrange a showing, and really help spread the message that way.
Thanks, Richard. Today on the Vegan Vegetarian Solutions for a Sustainable Environment podcast, we have been talking with Richard Schwartz, PhD. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, please visit h2opodcast.com and click on the vegetarian link.